Mockham scaling is a stochastic version of Gutmann scaling. But what does this mean? Well, I'm going to explore that briefly in this podcast. First, let me quash one myth which I've met from reviewers of some of my research papers using Mockham scaling, and that is that Mockham scaling has nothing to do with and has no relationship to Gutmann scaling. This is simply untrue, and that's easily demonstrated by reading Mockham's book, A Theory and Procedure of Scale Analysis. In Mockham's book, he dedicates a whole chapter to Gutmann scaling, and then goes on to develop Mockham scaling, or the non-parametric form of item response theory, as he calls it there, from Gutmann scaling. And this is because, essentially, Gutmann scaling and Mockham scaling, just like any form of item response theory, set out to do exactly the same thing, as described in your handout. As Gutmann said, the two things that are of most importance are 1, the determination of unidimensionality, and 2, the determination of a fixed point of reference along such a dimension. And what I want to do here is to spend some time in explaining what he meant by that, specifically what he means by unidimensionality, and what he means by determining a fixed point of reference along such a dimension, and to explain specifically why Mockham scaling is a stochastic version of Gutmann scaling. First of all, unidimensionality. To say that a scale is unidimensional means that, to the best of our analytical ability, all of the items in the scale are measuring the same thing. There are different ways of estimating unidimensionality. Scaling methods are one way, Cronbach's alpha, which many of you may be familiar, is another, and the procedures used in factor analysis to separate out groups of items into factors are also ways of seeking unidimensional items. And this is important because you can't have a scale which is measuring more than one thing at the same time, and unidimensionality remains fundamental to item response theory and particularly to Mockham scaling. Usually, when we estimate unidimensionality using some method like factor analysis or Mockham scaling, it separates items out completely and discretely into different scales. Therefore, I hope you'll agree that unidimensionality is a relatively easy concept to understand. But what about this concept of determining a fixed point of reference along such a dimension, the dimension being a measure of the latent trait? Well, if you reflect back on the previous session, which looked at the item characteristic curve, that's precisely what we were talking about. An item characteristic curve measures one region of the latent trait. Remember, an item characteristic curve relates to one of the items in a set of items in a scale, and the item characteristic curve relates the measurement on the latent trait to the measurement on the item. The theory being that the higher the measurement on the latent trait, the higher will be the score on the item. So I hope that's relatively clear without going into too much detail. The thing about this is that this distinguishes item response theory and Mockham scaling from, for example, factor analysis, which assumes that all items are equally likely to measure any level of the latent trait. Therefore, when you score a set of items in factor analysis, you simply sum them up, and it doesn't matter in which order they've been scored, or no assumption is made about where they lie along the latent trait. Note that in item response theory, as you'll have seen from earlier reading, it's fundamental to item response theory that items lie on particular points in the latent trait. So what makes Mockham scaling a stochastic version of Gutmann scaling? Well, the word stochastic means probabilistic or related by probability. And you'll already have picked up from looking at the item characteristic curve that it's a probability density function. In other words, it measures the probability of a score on an item when there is a particular score on the latent trait. We don't want to spend too much time on this because we're going to bypass Gutmann scaling completely. Essentially, while it was pioneering and very interesting, and I have used it myself, and you still see the occasional paper published using it. It has been completely overtaken by Mockin scaling. But the point behind Gutmann scaling, and if you look at the article by Watson et al. 2011 and look at figure 1, you'll see an example of this there, where we show the example of an item according to Gutmann scaling. The point is that an item in Gutmann scaling is not related stochastically. It's related to the measure of the latent trait deterministically. In other words, the position of the item and the position of the person on a latent trait is completely determined by the score on the latent trait. So instead of that familiar sigmoidal or S-shaped curve that we see in item response theory and in Mockin scaling, what we see is a vertical line on the point at which the item scores. There's no leeway either way. There's no probabilistic relationship as the score on the latent trait increases of the score on the item increasing or tailing off there afterwards. People are either scored there or not. And this is not really very realistic. This is not how things happen in the real world. It also means that Gutmann scaling is very prone to error, by which I mean it's very prone to the errors that are made. Someone either scores yes or no on an item. There's, again, as I've explained, no leeway. So Gutmann scaling has to find a way of taking those errors into account. And traditionally it's been done by estimating the proportion of errors that are taken into account. Specifically, if 90% of the responses are in the way that's expected, or the ordering of the items is in the way that's expected, then that's acceptable. But that's an arbitrary distinction and not one based on probability. Another aspect of Gutmann scaling is that it can only deal with dichotomous or yes-no answers. It can't deal with polytomous answers of the kind agree, strongly agree, disagree. The early versions of Mockin scaling were only capable of dealing with dichotomous responses, but because of its stochastic nature, Mockin scaling has been developed in such a way that it can now take into account polytomous responses. So that's another bit of progression from Gutmann scaling that's been obvious in Mockin scaling, and one advantage in Mockin scaling. So this is really just a piece of history, and just, I hope, for clarity. I don't want you to spend too much time worrying about this, but I do want you to appreciate that it is a stochastic method, and it is one based on probability, and that it has long ago taken over from Gutmann scaling. Gutmann scaling is really only there for historical reasons, but it's also useful to understand the principles of Gutmann scaling. And if you read the chapter from the SPSS manual by Ni et al., 1975, then you'll get a very good explanation of Gutmann scaling. And if you understand the fundamentals of Gutmann scaling, you will understand the fundamentals of Mockin scaling. And finally, just as a matter of interest, the Gutmann ordering of items is still used as part of the way of estimating the strength of a scale in Mockin scaling. So Gutmann scaling and the methods developed by Gutmann haven't completely disappeared. So that's a brief and, I hope, fairly clear explanation of why Mockin scaling is described as a stochastic version of Gutmann scaling. Thanks for listening.